Welcome to Dracena Wines Podcast. Our wines plus your moments equals great memories. I'm your host, Lori, and this is a podcast about all things wine.
Hey everybody, thanks for tuning into this podcast. In this episode, I was actually invited to be the guest of Spain's Great Match wine event hosted by the Wines from Spain, and it took place in Chelsea, New York City. And what I basically am going to do is go table to table, enjoy some serious phenomenal wine, and I'm going to talk to the people behind the scenes and get some more information for you to learn about these wines and the regions of which they come from. So please keep in mind that, one, this is in New York City and it is a wine event. So some of the interviews took place outside to try to get away from the noise in the room. And of course, we have vehicles driving by because, you know, you're in the middle of New York City. And then once inside, as the hours went by and people consumed more of this fantastic wine, well, their volume might have gone up. So we do have quite a bit of background noise. But I hope you enjoy and head on out. On the website, there will be all information on where you can find these wines and you can grab them. Okay, so we are here at Spain's Great Match, which is sponsored by Wines from Spain. Okay, and we are talking to Helen Gregory, and she's going to discuss a very specific wine region, a DO, and we're going to learn all about Garnacha.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the podcast today. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. So I'm not going to lie, it's a new DO to me, but I do love Garnacha.
Yep.
So I'm all for learning more about it. So where exactly is this located? You know, tell us about why Garnacha is all about this region and what we can expect from the tastes from this Garnacha.
So the Carniana is located in Aragon, which is in the northeast of Spain. It's about equidistant between Madrid and Barcelona, heading towards France and the Pyrenees Mountains. And the mountain ranges that divide Madrid from Carniana and then in turn France from Spain play a really critical impact in this winemaking area. And while it is new to us, in fact, wine enthusiasts call this a wine region to watch, Carniana is actually one of the most historic regions in Europe and in Spain. After Rioja, it's the second oldest wine region in Spain.
Wow.
It's a wine region that traces its ancestry back to King Ferdinand of Columbus, you know, Columbus, Ferdinand, and Isabel. And they've always been known for their wonderful wines, particularly their red wines. The red grape that they're most famous for is Garnacha. Garnacha has been traced back, Garnacha, also known as Grenache in southern France, has been traced back to the Carniana region and to Aragon, which is the historic birthplace of this great grape variety, which today is extremely popular for its fruit-forward style. It's a very approachable but also very complex grape that has traditionally been used in blending in parts of France, but in Carniana in Aragon is actually the main event, the star attraction.
That's awesome. So, you know, we produce Cabernet Franc, so, you know, Cab Franc Day, it's all about taking our varietal and making it the star. So, Garnacha, so that's awesome. Now, in terms of what we can expect from a flavor profile from this region?
Yeah, so Garnacha is not a high tannin grape, but it has a wonderful forward fruit character, so think black cherries. What distinguishes Carniana, the region, from other parts of the world that are also planting Garnacha is that this is really the birthplace of old vine Garnacha. So in Aragon, you can find plantings, and particularly in the Carniana region, there's more old vine Garnacha planted than in any other region of Spain, which means that with age, the vine takes on a lot of character, concentration, and flavor. So you have a kind of a ripe, almost cherry fruit profile that is extremely elegant, partly because the age of the vines ranges from about 25 to 40 years. Even in a particularly new release, you can be, you know, great value to quality. So you can get a wine for about $14. It's about made from 25-year-old vines. So
nice. That's very, very nice.
I also want to add one other thing. We talk a lot about Garnacha from Carniana, and for obvious reasons, because it has such a wonderful expressive quality. Juicy, lovely, really a refreshing quality. But the other great variety in Carniana is Carignan, or Carniana, which is a finicky grape. a little bit like you mentioned Cabernet Franc. It's a grape that is also coming into its own that winemakers are experimenting with and using it a little bit in blends, but also starting to create wines that are really driven by the Carignana character of the region. So that's kind of the second grape variety that Carignana, named for the grape variety, is starting to release more and more into the marketplace.
So you were saying that how old is the DO? When did it get its...
In 1930s. So it's been around for a long time, you know, since the official denomination of origin system started in Spain. But the winemaking tradition in Aragon goes back much further, at least to the 12th. You know, it's been recorded back to the Roman era. But the wines were known for their quality back in the days of, you know, Columbus sailing to the U.S. And in 1492, Ferdinand the King at the time of Aragon, had indicated how wonderful this wine region was for its high quality, particularly red grapes.
And what is the soil soil made up of in this region? Or is it basically all the same within the whole DO? Does it change because of the radius?
It's quite varied. So there's a range in the mountain areas. You have a lot of schist, a lot of slate. You do have higher elevation vineyards and plantings, which obviously lends itself to nice cool climate conditions at night that help to sort of settle tannins and a lot of the wonderful sort of aromatics of the wine. But you in the valley floors, you do get clay. So it does vary. But the winemakers are able to play with that variety to also kind of, you know, blend, you know, so you say if wine is 100% Garnacha, they might be sourcing from different parts of the region to get the style of wine that they're trying to make. So balancing some of maybe a riper, you know, Garnacha with a more, you know, perhaps a cooler climate, higher elevation to get some more acidity in the wine. So it's a region with enough variety in terms of planting options that it gives the winemakers a lot to work with.
Excellent. And my last question is, is there any like regulation on how they need to make the wine in order to be considered in the DO?
No, I mean, in terms of all the wines, all the grapes have to be sourced from within their growing area, within the geographic limitation of the Carignana region. Carignana, broadly speaking, is very close to the city of Zaragoza in Spain, but it is a designated region of origin. So in order to qualify as DOP, they call it Denomination of Origin Protegida or Protected, all the grapes have to come from that area. And when it's labeled Garnacha, it has to be a majority of Garnacha percentage, usually over 70%. But they're operating also within other norms. A lot of that is on our website, thenextgreatgrape.com, so if people are interested in looking for more information. I have one last thing I'd like to say,
Absolutely.
Too, which is that a lot of people know that Spanish, that Spain, and we're here to celebrate Spain's great match, is a source of wonderful quality wines, and also wines that you can get at relatively affordable prices. The reason Carignana is so exciting to so many consumers today is that there's so much quality for the value. And we've done some recent studies that show that for, you know, say $10 to $15 a bottle, you can get an exceptional bottle of wine from Carignana and from Greater Aragon, which is kind of the emerging area of Spain. So it's a really exciting time for this space, for this particular place in Spain, and for consumers to find real value and to be able to try different things in a range of $10 to $15 price points. So it's affordable, and at that price point, we can all afford to be a little bit adventurous.
Absolutely. And is it readily available? Is it this DO readily distributed here?
It is readily available. We work with Grandes Vinos, with Bodegas San Valero, and with Bodegas Panizza. But we do have information about retail availability at thenextgreatgrape.com. We'll take emails to help people find this so they can experiment and try it. But it is last year we doubled our distribution in the U.S. market, partly because people are really discovering how much they like these wines, and there's been a lot of demand for them.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Helen.
Thank you.
Okay, so I am with Alfonso, and he is here to represent the DO Somontano, and he's going to first tell us about where the region is and what it's best known for.
Well, the region is located in the north, east of Spain, in the region of Aragon. It's right below the foothills of the Pyrenees, the mountains that separate Spain from France. It's actually only around 60 miles away from France. The very name Somontano means below or at the foot of the mountain, basically. And the wines are very much influenced by this character, by the winds and the soils made up by, you know, there are smooth valleys, slopes, make up the whole region. Some of the patches, some of the vineyards are at a higher level. Some of them are more closer to rivers. So it's a small area, but it's very diverse. And they started as DO. They acquired the category of DO in 1984. Although they had been winemaking for centuries in the region, as many other regions in Spain. But they did something very unique at that time in the 80s, which is they started bringing, playing around with international grapes. Now, apparently everybody in Spain and everywhere in the world, they play around with international grapes, but it's very peculiar to we're proud to say that these grapes, Gewürztraminer, Straminer, Cabernet Sauvignon, we like saying that they are native to our region because they work so well and they've done for decades. It's not that we planted them yesterday. It was quite careful to do that in the 80s, to bring, you know, some Gewürztraminer and you know, for a regular Spaniard consumer. It established itself as a very well recognized region in within Spain in terms of quality. It got associated very soon with high end restaurants in Barcelona and Madrid, and that helped boost it, you know, recognition in Spain. And so, you know, when it comes to promoting outside, we want to keep that let's say that status, at least. We associate ourselves with, you know, we're a smaller region than other regions in Spain, but we produce quality reds, whites, and rosés, which is also not very common. And you have Ribera using, you know, wonderful reds, but only reds, or, you know, Rías Baixas only doing whites. But, you know, this is a very, very unique region in this sense that it's been like that for decades.
So you're mentioning that you have rosés, you have Gewürztraminer, I see a Merlot here. What would you say is the region's main focus grape? If you had to pick one grape for that region, I know that's probably a tough question, right?
It is tough because I think statistically it's Garnacha, Cabernet Sauvignon, then Chardonnay for whites. So yeah, but I mean,
all over the
but the range is huge. I mean, all, you know, have Gewürztraminer, Merlot, Cabernet, pretty much. The Syrah also.
Syrah. Okay. What is the soil type in your DO?
Because there's not a single land. You know, it's not like the plains in La Mancha, you know, Tempranillo, the same level. Because this is a mountainous region with different. Basically, if you visit the area, which is beautiful, you can see different patches of vineyards. So some of the soils, so there's also variety there. But mostly, I would say calcareous mineral soils, which make most of the wines tend not to be sweet. Like you taste our Chardonnay here, which is a wine that is very, very, you know, people love it here, and has nothing to do with a California Chardonnay, for example. And that, which is great, you know, it's just not the same.
And going to the Chardonnay, so, you know, that ABC thing, okay, are you oak-aged or are you still...
We're representing the whole DO, which is, you know, the different wineries. So some of the wineries play around with, you know, with their wines. Some of the Chardonnays are oaked, even 4, 5, 6 months. Some of them are unoaked. For example, we have one here from Winery Anate, which is a very specific, is a very unique wine because it's their winemaker decided that only one specific parcel from the vineyard produces the best quality Chardonnay grapes that he wants to use for this specific wine. They also have other wines, but then they chose this specific parcel. Hence the name they have is actually the number of the parcel, 234.
Oh, excellent. And how many wineries would you guesstimate are in this DO? Like, the, do you know the hectares of the region?
It's basically there are 31 wineries. In the U.S. campaign, there's 5 of them. And then the total production is about 15 million bottles. It's not much. So, I mean, it depends on the year. And it's, yeah, I mean, it's...
Are they mostly family-owned wineries? Or are they,
excuse me. Mostly are. Most of them are family-owned. There are a few which belong to larger wine groups from Spain. And then there are also other mid-sized, group wineries.
So one of the big things that we read all about or hear all about in Spain is that it's a very, it's a melting point of traditional versus new world. So where does...
I think Somontano is actually a great example of that, precisely because of these uses of international grapes. I'm telling you, I mean, the first, as I said, there's been winemaking in the region for centuries, but then in the late 19th century, French winemakers, running away from the phylloxera, across the border, saw that the people there, the families there, were growing grapes, and actually the first winery per se, itself, was established by a French family who owned a winery in Bordeaux. And they built the building in 1894. So there's been this, and they brought the first Cabernets and the, so they, that's why we really say international grapes are native to Somontano.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Am I close?
Yeah, you're getting there. It's actually pronounced Rias, like real almost. Rias and then Vaixas, okay. But the spelling kind of throws you off. And V-A-I-X-A-S is how you spell the name Vaixas. So what it translates is to kind of river inlets, or Rias, and Vaixas is low. So the lowlands. And so Rias Vaixas is in the northwest of Spain, in Galicia. So I think... Pacific Northwest of the U.S. bears a great resemblance to this part of Spain. So unlike our image of Castilian plains, this area is very green, very rocky, facing the Atlantic coast, gets a lot of rainfall, and the predominant grape variety as a result is not a red grape, it's a white grape. It's a very famous white grape variety called Albariño, and it reaches amazing expression in Rias Baixas, the region it's growing in.
So we had done a wine studio, and that was where I was introduced. I had never tasted Albariño before, and I was an instant fan. The salinity, the acidity, it's a beautiful, beautiful grape. And it's all the salinity. It's all about the salinity. And we learned that when I was doing the research for the wine studio, it's called the green region, right? So talk about that.
Yeah, so people refer to this part of Spain as Green Spain, and they're referring predominantly to the fact that it's very lush, very beautifully green, and in fact there's a Celtic tradition in this region. It looks more like, the green you associate with Ireland, if anything, and the Celts were among the many tribes that settled here. So Green Spain, and that all comes from its facing the Atlantic Ocean. You mentioned the salinity. That is definitely an aspect of these wines. So the soil is hard granite, and they face the Atlantic Ocean. They get a lot of coolness from the ocean. They get a lot of water, a lot of precipitation. So in order to kind of compensate for that in the grapes, they plant them high off the ground. They get very nice ripeness, but they also get something else, which all world-class white share, and that's amazing acidity. So you get this wonderful floral sort of bouquet on the wine. Some people think of peaches and a little bit of green, citrus and lime. But then when you taste the wine, you really do get this lovely acidity, and it makes you some of the best food pairing wines in the world. They really match well with food, especially seafood that the region of Rías Baixas is also very famous for.
So that's what my next question is, the food pairings is being with that. We had pictures of people diving for the fresh mussels and all of that. And it was impressive to just see all of this, it's not farm because it's underwater, the farm to table type concept of it.
Fish and seafood in this part of Spain, in Galicia, Rías Baixas. The reason for that is that you get the Rías, or these sort of fjord-like estuaries, these fingers of water that reach into the region. And so you get a mixing of sea, of fresh water and salt water. And as a result, you get an abundance of seafood, some of which loves that kind of mix. You get the famous barnacles, the percebes of the region, as well as many types of shellfish that you just don't find in other parts of the world, frankly. And it is an incredible pairing with these fresh white wines. But I'd be remiss if we just stopped there, because it's easy to say, well, these are the best white wines with seafood, and I think that they really are among the most interesting pairings with seafood. But the acidity, the lovely aromatics of these wines also make them great pairings for just about anything that you're looking for, like from a veal chop to a wonderful salad, or even something more complex. In the region, people will drink this with all kinds of meats, broths, beef stews. And again, it's that acidity that helps it really kind of stand up to many different types of food.
So is that they're known for Albariños, and that is what they produce. Is there any other grape varietals in that region?
Yes, there are other white grape varieties that are approved in the region. Albariño is definitely the star of the region, and for good reason. It's just an unbelievably expressive grape planted in these soils in this part of the world. But some of the other grape varieties you'll find: Torontes, Loureiro, Caña Blanca, Bodego. So some mostly indigenous grape varieties from Spain. It's always a 70% to 100% balance of Albariño. So Albariño is always going to drive the blend in the region, but there are other allowed grape varieties, and we do list them all. We have a website, riasbaixaswines.com, and there's a lot of information about the region and which grape varieties are approved, profiles of the grapes, also the many wonderful producers that are producing in this region. This is a region that, for many reasons, but particularly because of quality, is just beloved by sommeliers. And they highly recommend it, partly because sommeliers, of course, love to pair great white wines with food, but they're looking for quality expressions, and there's a lot of variety within Rías Baixas, so the wines are quite distinctly different from each other. So it's definitely a region that's worth trying different styles, different varieties to find the style you want.
In terms of other regions of Spain, is this a large region, a small region? How many wineries are taking in this section?
In terms of, it's not a very large region. It would be comparable in size to, think of like the Willamette Valley, just kind of but spread out a little bit. The growing regions are not all contiguous, so there's five principal sub-regions that are part of the DO, that are part of the Rías Baixas area. Currently in our campaign, we have over 50 participating wineries that are present in the U.S. market, and there are many more in Spain that aren't necessarily exported yet, but probably will be soon. So there are quite a number of producers to choose from, and it is a region that has very good distribution in the U.S. So it isn't hard to find, whether you're looking in the Midwest or New York or Northern California, a very nice Albariño from Rías Baixas.
So my last question is, if somebody is unfamiliar with Albariño, what wine grape variety that we would recognize, if I like this grape variety, I don't go to order?
Sauvignon Blanc. Definitely Sauvignon Blanc. If you like that kind of crisp green apple, Sauvignon Blanc, plus the Bordeaux style, more kind of is going to love these wines. He's going to find a lot to enjoy in them, but they are very unique as well. You mentioned that salinity early on in this conversation, and so it's that kind of marine, that maritime, Atlantic coastal influence. It's really what sets them apart. When you're thinking of other world-class white wines, Austrian white wines, certain styles of Loire Valley white wines, you see so many of them. Those are the, if you like those wines, you're going to love those wines too.
Excellent, thank you. And I have become a major Albarino fan. I'm like a maniac for Albarino.
Perfect,
now.
Thank you so okay. much.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm here now, and amongst all of this wine, I have found craft beer. Okay? And this is AJ with
Mal.
Mal. And he's
going to
tell you all about this craft beer.
Hi there. So, yeah, we're Pau from Madrid, Spain. We're number one in Spain. We're pretty much a German lager that is brewed from Spain. And we have a really special system that when you pour it, it brings the beer like a beer itself. So, it makes it a really special lager. I know a lot of people have this misconception of lager that they all taste the same. But our lagers really, when you pour it with our system, it gives it a really creamy feeling, and it just makes a big difference. There's actual science behind it, as you can see. The cream seals the beer, and it protects it from oxygen, because oxygen is really bad for beer. Oxygen will change the flavor of the beer, but our cream will stay with the beer. As you drink it, you will go down with it. And you're protected from that. So it's literally the way the beer is inside the keg. So it's you're drinking it like the way it's meant to be. So it's protected.
So you have three different beers. Okay, you have a lager, and that's the only one I'm recognizing. So tell us about what your three class beers are.
We also have a Alhambra from southern Spain, a craft brewery, and there's two types. We have a strong lager, 6% alcohol, and the one that we're really proud of, especially for the winter, is called Alhambra Roja. It's a topo pan. It's a dark German lager, 7.2% alcohol. It's literally a winter warmer. So we're just literally waiting for the winter so we can drink some Alhambra Roja.
Really, the
lager
you have on tap, where the other two are in bottles, are the other two available
on tap? Yes. Yeah, we also have Alhambra, both styles on draft. The Boqueria restaurants all over New York have Roja on tap. It's unbelievable. Yeah. We're drinking the craft beer from Spain, so it's a really unique style.
What is the production of each of these?
Mile Brewery is the number one Spain, so it's really large. And we're talking about hundreds of thousands of barrels. But Alhambra is a really tiny brewery in southern Spain. So it's really, really slow crafted, literally. So we can compete with all the American craft breweries. And we also grow our own hops in northern Spain. So people love goods in Spain. Well, we have hops in Spain, so nobody has that.
That is true. I've never heard of that. That's awesome. So I just we all drink Cena wines, and we are obviously winery, but we drink IPAs. That's like our big thing.
So there's not an IPA here. What would you recommend in terms of level of, I guess, hoppiness for craft beer?
Yes, Europe is still not there with the IPAs. They like the lagers. They don't even want dark beer. But Alhambra 1725 has a lot of hops. Even though it's still a lager, we don't do ales in Spain yet. But Alhambra 1725, it has more alcohol, has more hops. So it gives it, even though it's not an IPA, it will give the IPA drinkers the flavor and bitterness they seek.
So, do we have to go to a specific restaurant or whatever to find this, or are you in some store where we can buy the six pack or buy the case?
Right now, we pretty much own all the Spanish restaurants. And the international stores have our bottles. If we're slowly get into the menu chain. It takes some time, but we like the way our craft is doing in our restaurant. Slowly get into the rest of the stores. But the international stores, they don't have our alambre and our menu.
So, I mean, obviously, when you think of Spain, the first thing that comes to mind is wine. So how difficult is it to break into a market of craft beer in a wine place?
The first thing I tell my customers is, I know you think of Spain as the wine, but honestly, if you really go to Spain, you will see a cervecería, a beer store every block. We love beer. We drink beer all the time. We'll have wine for dinner, but for tapas, we like beer. So this is a thing I always train my customers, is trust me, you think wine in Spain, we love beer.
That is awesome. And although we are a winery, we love beer also. So thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, so I am here with Jose, and we are talking about Casilla in Leon. And we are going to ask about the DO and how old it is. And what is its major grape varietal, and what we can expect from wines from this region?
La región del Bierzo es una región que está situada al noroeste de España. Es una olla tectónica rodeada de alta montaña, con lo cual tenemos un territorio que no es muy grande, pero dentro de una concavidad que le da un microclima especial.
The region of Bierzo is a region that is mountainous, and then have
una olla tectónica, una concavidad rodeada de montaña.
Mountains around this area,
rodeada de montaña, que esto confiere un microclima especial.
That makes it special because of the microclimate. It makes it special because of the situation of where this wine is area.
Este microclima se podría considerar mediterráneo, pero tenemos una abertura en las montañas al Atlántico, por lo cual entra el fresco del Atlántico y tenemos vinos frescos con una acidez muy interesante.
The climate in this here is considered like Mediterranean climate because they get the Atlantic
influence.
Influence that makes the wines very crisp and very fresh. Because of this.
La particularidad más importante que tenemos es la variedad. Tenemos una variedad autóctona local, que es la variedad Mencía, que es la que se elabora en todas las bodegas 100%, es decir, no utilizamos blend con otras variedades.
Specific for this region is that they only use one type of grape variety, which is called Mencía. They do not do any blend for the wine. So all the wines that are produced in this region are 100% Mencía grape variety. And it's a local that it grew in this region only.
Esta variedad es una variedad muy interesante, muy compleja, muy completa, y no necesita que la acompañemos de otras variedades. Y como además será, es única en el mundo, pues tampoco queremos desvirtuarla, queremos tener Mencía 100%.
This variety is unique in the world, so that's why they don't want to mix it with anything, so they want to keep it pure only for this region, and it's only produced and it grows locally in this region, so all the wines are always 100% Mencía.
En vinos blancos tenemos Godello, que también es una variedad local, muy apreciada ahora en el mundo y muy demandada. La producción que tenemos es escasa, pero también es autóctona y es una variedad que en blanco es un poco igual que el tinto. Es muy compleja, muy de variedal, y tampoco queremos hacer mezclas para tampoco desvirtuarlo.
For the white sauce, they only use one variety, which is Galello, and it's also a great variety that only grows there. It's local. They don't want to mix it with anything. It's very complex, so it really doesn't need to be mixed with any other variety.
En este momento es probablemente una de las zonas del mundo que más de moda está, precisamente por la alta calidad de nuestros vinos y la complejidad de los mismos.
Right now, Bierzo is like an emerging region from Spain, because of the complexity of the grape varieties that they have, and because they only use one for each, and they think that it's of the world, it will be one of the most important.
Hay algo que también es interesante conocer sobre nuestra comarca y es que tenemos por superficie el viñedo más viejo del mundo. Es decir, nuestras vides todas tienen una media de 100 años y tenemos algunas prefilosféricas, con lo cual tenemos producciones muy escasas de muy alta calidad.
One of the things for the region also is that the grapes, the vines are really centuries old, which is, you know, they are like really come from very old. Mostly all of them are 100 years old. So that makes it, you know, a very specific region. So they have kept those vines for all these years. That's something very special for the region.
Los sistemas radiculares de nuestras viñas son muy profundos, con lo cual tiene, eso confiere al vino muchísimos matices, porque son muy viejos y porque además están sometidas, han estado sometidas a lo largo de su vida a mucho estrés y han ido hundiéndose en la tierra, con lo cual tenemos mucha mineralidad, en fin, muchos matices interesantes.
One of the things is that because these are very old vines, they are in a very specific location. They go, the roots of these vines go really deep, so they pick up all the nutrients and the minerals from, you know, they are very stressed vines throughout all these years, so they pick up all the minerals and all the nutrients from the earth. So that's very specific to that region because of the elevation and because of the location.
So I'm just going to ask, so if we were going to relate this to a great varietal that the United States knows, what would you represent, what would be the closest representation?
¿Cuál sería la representación más cercana a alguna otra variedad aquí en Estados Unidos que se parezca a Mencía?
En Estados Unidos, no sé, creo que no. Lo más parecido, lejanamente, que nos puede recordar a la Mencía, puede ser el Cabernet Franc.
El Cabernet Franc will be the one that is not, in the United States, she doesn't really know, but Cabernet Franc will be the grape variety that is closest.
We produce Cabernet Franc. That's what my winery is.
Where?
We produce in Paso Robles.
In
Paso Robles in California. That is what my
Cabernet.
So I'm going to have to taste this right now.
You know, Cabernet Franc comes from Francia.
Yeah.
Yes. Hay quien dice que es una mutación del Cabernet Franc porque dentro de nuestra comarca,
como decía,
sí. Hay quien lo dice, hay estudios, pero no se tiene la confirmación, que podría ser una mutación del Cabernet Franc que trajeron los peregrinos a Santiago y dentro de nuestra olla tectónica, de nuestra concavidad, mutó y es diferente a todas las del mundo.
They're saying that there is a theory about Cabernet Franc coming from France that was brought to Santiago by the pilgrimage people, and then they planted it in Bierzo. So there is a theory that it's a mutation of the Cabernet Franc.
Thank you so very much. Thank
Welcome.
You very much.
So now you want to taste some?
Absolutely.
So that was really only a small percentage of the represented regions of Spain at this event. There were probably 40 or 50 tables there, and again, this was only 5 interviews. There is so much to explore and learn about the wines from Spain. Please be sure to head to their websites to find out where you can get these wines near you. All the links are on the podcast webpage. I have to really say it's amazing the quality you can get from this region. At these prices, why not just go to your wine shop and pick up a bottle? I'm talking, these wines are weekend quality wines at weekday prices. You can't go wrong. Do yourself a favor and explore. Expand your palate. If you are nervous about trying new stuff, you're not quite sure what to try, then stick to Garnacha at first. Maybe choose an Albarino from Ria Spacious. Get comfortable with those. Better yet, here's an idea. How about having some friends over and choose a Garnacha from within a specific denomination d'origine to see the winery's expression? Or choose a Garnacha from each of the different regions and have a tasting to see how the wineries, how the wines themselves are impacted by the different DO's geography. I'd be hard-pressed to think of a region that can provide you with such a great QPR, quality-price ratio. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. I hope you enjoyed learning about Spain's Great Match. I apologize again for the loudness in the background, but you know, it was a party. People were enjoying the wines, and they were definitely enjoying themselves. I did the best I could to eliminate that background noise, but it's there, and I apologize. I would like to thank Samantha for the invitation to attend this event, and especially Wines from Spain for hosting such a fantastic event. I look forward to more interactions.
Thanks for listening to Dracena Wines Podcast. If you have suggestions of what topics you would like us to discuss, please reach out to us on social media or at dracenawines@gmail.com. If you liked our podcast, please subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting program you use. To easily subscribe at iTunes, please go to bit.ly/DracenaPodcast. That's bit.ly/D for Dracena and P for podcast. We would greatly appreciate you leaving a review on your favorite system. It helps others to find us. Let's get social. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Pinterest, YouTube, Google Plus, and Periscope at Dracena Wines. And I am on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd. Check out our award-winning wine at DracenaWines.com. And remember to always pursue your passion. Sláinte!
Thank you.